Any prayer requests? Yeah, Father, thank you for your abundance of rain, and we thank you for the rain that you have on the way for us. We receive it gladly in the name of Jesus. Amen. Open up your Bibles to Ephesians. Ephesians. Not sure where it's what I want to do here. Yeah, okay, Ephesians chapter 1. We'll start at verse 16. The Holy Spirit gave Paul a prayer to pray for the Ephesians, but it's not just for the Ephesians, it's for the whole church. And we studied this prayer once. You know, we decided that this is the prayer that we need. You know, when we have a born-again loved one that's running around out there kind of crazy, this is a good prayer to pray for him. He says, I cease not to give thanks for you making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness. This is the verse I want to focus on right here. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to his to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. You know, when I stumbled into that verse and I started seeing it, I thought, man, that is the same Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus back to life is the very same Holy Spirit that got us born again. And that's the very same Holy Spirit that comes upon you when you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The very same Holy Spirit. You know, we've been focusing on being God inside-minded. He's in there. The very same Holy Spirit. You know, early on in my, you know, when I first started reading the Bible, I got to thinking, you know, man, you know, if these other believers can do this stuff, I can do this stuff. Well, that was kind of pushing the limit of my bubble. And then I got to reading more and I got to thinking, man, because of the Holy Spirit, you know, some of these other preachers, or some of these preachers, I wasn't a preacher yet, but I thought, you know, I ought to be able to do some of the things that some of these preachers can do. And what did I do? I pushed my bubble just a little bit further. You know, and the other, and the pastors I'd run into, they agreed. They said, yeah, you should be able to do this stuff. And then one day, the Holy Spirit got it in me. He said, you know something? If Peter, Paul, and John could do it, you can do it. Well, that was pushing my bubble a little bit far, you know. So I thought, okay, so I pushed my bubble out there, and I went and I told some preachers, and they said, well, no, these are apostles. These were very anointed apostles, stuff like that. I kind of shook it off a little bit, but then one day I was reading in John 14:12, and Jesus said, you know something, you believe, you can do the same things I did. Well, that was like hitting my bubble with a nuclear weapon right there. It was like, so I went and I told some preachers that, and they said, well, that's Jesus. And then they'd say, yeah, you can do those things. But then here was the kicker. They'd start talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and they'd say, you know, you can only operate in two or three of those. So what they did is they agreed with the Bible, but they didn't believe the Bible. In order for you to do what Jesus did, and even greater things, you're going to have to be able to operate in every single gift of the Holy Spirit. What happens is people get focused, you know, on this. The Holy Spirit deals them out severally as He wills. They forget about the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're looking for. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit. I liked what Jesse Duplantis said one time. He said, waiting for the Holy Spirit to show up and show off. You know, it is the Jesus Christ and Holy Ghost show. But that's the important thing. If you limit yourself to one or two gifts, that's what you believe. Remember, the only limitations that are holding you back are the ones that you accept. So I was in these positions. I thought, well, there's like these three gifts that I operate in. So I was in the barn one day doing chores, feeding horses. This lady shows up and said, there's this girl with this, I can't remember what this was, it was a bone crippling disease, and they want you to pray for her. And I said, well, I don't operate in miracles, but there's this pastor over on the other side of town that does that. How stupid was that? Well, I was just doing kind of basically the way I was taught. Honestly, what we needed to do is just get in front of that girl and let the Holy Spirit show up and decide what she needed and go with it. Amen? The most important gift that a man can operate in is the one that the man standing in front of him needs the most. Whether it be a miracle, a healing, a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, whatever it may be. Who are we to decide what we can operate in and what we can't operate in anyway? Aren't we the clay and He's the workman? Amen. Isn't it His idea? You know, if we really believe that God doesn't call the equipped, He equips the called. If we really believe that, then we'll just say, okay, we'll just go there and say, Holy Spirit, you do whatever it is you think you need to do. I hope, and I pray that I don't miss it. Just show me what you want, and we'll do it. Amen? Then you just got to be willing to go ahead and do it. But the main thing is to understand that God is in there. Look at Matthew chapter 28, verse 6. It was kind of hilarious how the Holy Spirit brought me forward. I look back on it and I just kind of laugh sometimes. But verse 26, the angels were saying, He is not here, for He is risen. As He said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Now go back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. He is risen. You know, we don't emphasize that enough. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 19 says, "What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion?" All that. He rose from the dead. And in that life of his was added the power of resurrection. And he put that life in you. He put that resurrection life on the inside of you. You know, we're all going to, you know, I mean, if we wear out our bodies before Jesus shows up, we're going to go into a grave. And the bugs are going to get us. You're going to get your body, not you. And you're going to be in your new home. Amen? But eventually, there is going to be a resurrection of the righteous. The resurrection of the saints is going to happen. And there is going to be a resurrection of the dead. Not the righteous. The dead. Because they're going to face the judgment. They're going to face the great white throne judgment. But here's the thing. The resurrection power is on the inside of you now. That's, people just, they don't think about that enough. God's on the inside of you. You do have the power to raise the dead. You know, Smith Wigglesworth, I don't know how many people he brought back to life by the power of the Holy Spirit. One guy, this was funny, but this guy, I mean, it wasn't funny, it was funny, but it wasn't funny. But this guy died, and Smith Wigglesworth had been witnessing to him for years. He picked him up, put him up against the wall, and said, "You're going to live in the name of Jesus." Let him go, and he fell down. Picked him up, and said, "You're going to live in the name of Jesus. You're going to live." The guy fell down. Picked him up again, put him over against the wall. "I said you're going to live." And the guy woke up and he said, "You're going to listen to me." What was that? That was the resurrection power of God on the inside of him, coming out of him in the power of the Holy Spirit, causing things to change in his environment. Yeah? You can do that. You can do that. You don't have to be a preacher to do that. Remember, Jesus said, "Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do." The power of the Holy Spirit is always there to help you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And you don't have to say any long-winded, blown-out prayers. You know, I woke up, somebody called me, I was sleeping, they woke me up, I answered the phone, and they said, "This little girl drowned, you got to pray, she's dead, you got to pray." I said, "What little girl?" They said, "Got her name, got her name." So I prayed, and went back to sleep, and the next day they said, "She's alive. She broke her arm, but she's alive. She was drowned, so she wasn't breathing when you prayed for her. But it wasn't me. It was Jesus." Remember, he said, "Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do." That's what you do. You just let him do it. He does the doing. Then that way you don't have to be so cool. Amen? Okay. So what happened when Jesus came back to life? You know, you got justified, but here's a really cool thing. Look at John chapter 16, verse 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, these next little verses here are some verses that have torn the church world apart, torn Christians completely up. And it's not needful. But when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. When somebody isn't born again, that's their verse. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. This is a biggie. This is for us. Of righteousness. He convinces us of our righteousness. The disciples, you know, the apostles, they ate with Jesus, they ran around with Jesus, they took boat rides with Jesus, they walked around with Jesus, they talked with him, for 3.5 years they were with him all the time. When something really went bad, they went to the man. But here's the thing, he can only be in one place at one time. And he was getting ready to go. And he was preparing his disciples, saying, look, I'm sending you a comforter, your paraclete, your standby, your helper, your teacher, this is your power. This is the one that's gonna fill my shoes down here, but he's gonna be everywhere all the time. See, when Jesus was here on this earth, he could come to Rosemary's house and visit with her and do some miracles and everything be wonderful. And then he would go to another town. Well, what happened is he left Rosemary and he went to this other town. Rosemary is here all by herself now. But when Jesus died on that cross and got resurrected and went to the Father, he sent the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit can move into Rosemary's house and be there forever. And he could be at Peace House at the same time, and he could be at my house at the same time, and he could be at Africa at the same time. He could be everywhere all the time. Amen? And he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Why? What if I make a mistake? Well, he's there to convince you of your righteousness. Amen. So how do we respond to a mistake? I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He went back to his Father in heaven. The Holy Spirit came to indwell you, so that you can have his anointing to walk in victory and power. See, that's when you get powered up. I talked to a lot of different missionaries, you know, in my adventure, you know, different people that go different places. And it's easy to tell the ones that have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they come back and they say, man, I had a rocking good time. You should have seen the stuff we seen. We went here and we went there and we did this and we did that. And it was cool. It was fun. You know, all these things happened. This is a great adventure. The ones that haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they come back and say, this is a hard, hard place to be. And everything is hard. Said, it was hard getting around. It was hard talking to people. It was hard getting in. But we got some stuff done. And I tell them, I say, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They look at me. They said, how would you know anything? I said, well, look, you're doing it all. Let the Holy Spirit do it. Amen. Some of those stories, have read are just fascinating. These people. I heard about a guy getting chased through the jungle one time. These headhunters. I mean, this guy was toast. They caught him. They tied him to a tree. And they were going to eat him or whatever they were going to do. So he sits there and he was, I mean, they had him. So he just started speaking in tongues. And they all got bored again. They turned him loose and they had a little revival right there. I mean, how cool is that? That's what I'm talking about. He's in there and he's fun. Amen? He's fun. We talked about this in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20, where he's seated at the right hand of God. And he's resting in his finished work. Think about that. He is sitting, he's resting in his finished work. And you're seated in Christ at the right hand of God. So that means you're seated. And when you're sitting down, you ain't working. There ain't nothing left to earn. He did a perfect work on that cross. Absolutely perfect. You know, if you look at one of these Charlie Russell paintings, I mean, these are high dollar paintings. People pay lots and lots of money for these things because they're perfect. In the art world, they would be called a perfect painting. You know, a Rembrandt would be a perfect painting. Nobody in their right mind would grab a brush and go mix up some watercolor and say, Mona Lisa, her smile is just off. We need to have her smile just a little bit. Nobody would do that, would they? But people actually have enough gall to think that there is something that they can actually do to earn something from God, as if the work Jesus did on the cross wasn't good enough for them. See how asinine that actually sounds when you put it into words like that? It's not with silver and gold that you've been redeemed, but by the precious blood of Jesus. There's nothing you can possibly do that could be any better than what he did. So you're just going to have to sit down and receive what he did in you. How do you do that? By believing it. You know, you're just going to have to take the same little journey everybody else in the world has to take. You know, you have to sit there. Some people have to sit there and look at Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10 and look at that until they're convinced that they're born again. And then they'll have to look in there and find out where Jesus forgave them of their sin. And they're going to have to read that over and over. And they're going to say that to themselves over and over and over again. I've been forgiven because of the shed blood of Jesus. Well, I don't feel forgiven. I have been forgiven because Jesus forgave me with his shed blood. Well, I don't feel forgiven. I have been forgiven. How many times you got to do it? Until your feelings line up with the Word of God. But don't you dare try to make the Word of God line up with your feelings. That's how we come up with queer preachers. Yeah. Gay weddings. It just doesn't work. You read the Word until you line up with the Word. But don't try to make the Word line up with what you feel. So he's resting at the right hand of God. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 17. You know, Romans chapter 8, verse 17. This chapter is something that I say, well, the whole Bible is required reading, but this is one of those chapters that is a must read. This is one of the hottest chapters in the Bible. Right here. Romans chapter 8, verse 17. Says, if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Joint heirs. Have you ever thought about that? You're a joint heir with Christ. You know what that means? You're on the same level. Oh, but he's God. That's the religious mindset. Yes, it is Jesus. It is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. But I'm going to tell you something. When you got born again, you got placed on the same level as Jesus because you've been seated in Christ. You are the body of Christ. It can't get any more even than that. Now, he is the head of the church. He is the head. But you're the body. And the body ain't going nowhere without the head. The head ain't going nowhere without the body. You are on the same playing field as Jesus. Because he gave you the power of attorney to use his name. The most powerful name that has ever been on this earth. Ever. The name of Jesus. He's on the inside of you. He's in there. All that Jesus is, God meant for you to be. All that he has, God meant for you to have. All the exciting things that you read in the Bible about Jesus, all the treasures of him that are hidden in the Old Testament, and the unsearchable riches in him that you find in the New Testament, all of that life of his, it's not out there somewhere. It's not out there in the distance somewhere. It's not something that you're going to eventually attain to. It's not something that you're searching for. It's not something that is out there. Get a hold of this. God has deposited it in you so that you can live the abundant life that Jesus came to give you. Remember John 10:10? The thief came to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That's what that means. All of it. The blessing of Abraham. The abundant riches. It's so unfortunate that a whole bunch of the Word of Faith Church and the charismatic world got caught up in this and decided it's about money and money alone. That's the base form. You know, Jesus was very prosperous and everything. How was he prosperous? He could meet the needs of absolutely everybody that he ran into. If somebody needed healing, they got healing. If somebody needed deliverance, they got a devil cast out of them. Somebody needed to see, he brought their eyes back. Somebody needed to hear, they brought their ears back. If they needed money one time, he told Peter to go fishing. Amen? One time, this widow woman, her only son was in a casket, and they were in the funeral procession, headed down the street. And he used the resurrection power to raise her son back. That widow got her son back. Amen? She wasn't a widow no more. She got her stomach. One time they were having a meeting and they didn't have any food. Actually, it happened a couple of times. But thousands of people with just a little bit. I like the story of Wayne Myers. He was down in Mexico and this guy was going to had some missionaries showed up and they needed some food. So he didn't have enough eggs. So he went down to this place and bought some eggs and brought them up, and he still didn't have enough eggs, and he just prayed to God that he'd have enough eggs, so he started breaking eggs, and they were all double yolkers. They had more than enough to feed all these missionaries. They got them all fed and sent on the way. So his lightning fast mind said he was going to make a fortune. He went down there and bought a whole bunch more of them eggs, brought them home. They were single yolkers. Stories like that are just limitless. How the power of God moves in a situation to make things happen for people. You know, that power is on the inside of you. That abundance is on the inside of you. Be God inside of mine. Then when you know that it's God in there and not you, that'll take those ideas out of your head that I have to go fast for 2 weeks before I can go pray for this situation. Or a situation arises and say, man, I haven't been reading my Bible as much as I want. Or somebody comes up to you and wants prayer, said, man, if they seen me cussing like a sailor behind the barn the other day, they would never ask me to pray for them. These are standards that the modern day church put on people, and they forget what happened in the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church was living by grace. They were making all kinds of mistakes, but Paul came in there and said, you're the power, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He encouraged them in the things that they are in Christ. He reminded them of those things. We need to remind ourselves of who God is in us. Amen? And then let God be God. And watch him kick the tar out of the devil whenever you run into him. Amen? Thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for everything that Jesus does in us and through us as we come to a realization and a revelation of the new creation realities of his power that he put in us, the power of his cross, the power of his resurrection, his shed blood. And then he gave us the authority to use his name. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.